worship you tonight, God. Give our lives to you, God. Every day is a new day with you, Jesus. Every day, Lord God. We honor you. We bless you. We worship you, Lord, tonight with everything. We give you our hearts, Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Don't we serve a good God? Oh, man, how I love him. Man, and I love you guys too. Did you know that? It's okay Amen. To say that.
Amen.
Isn't that right, John?
That's yes, right. Yes, it is.
Picking on John again. Sorry, John.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's okay. So, Lord, we just thank you. We love you tonight. Thank you for getting to worship you together. Family, God. You know, we can't make it without church family. That's the way it's designed. So I got to have you guys. So thank you for being here. And Lord, thank you for what you're going to speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you, Father, that the word that comes from my mouth, Lord, the Holy Spirit will land on each individual heart as the Holy Spirit sees fit. And we thank you for that, God. We thank you for that. It'll be you, Lord, speaking to people. Might be coming out of my mouth, but the word of God does not return void. Amen? And so we thank you for the foolishness of preaching. How about the foolishness of sitting here and worshiping a God that we can't see, but we know he's here with us. Oh, but someday we're going to see him face to face. Saints, it will all be worth it. I don't care what we're going through. I know I say this every Wednesday, but Paul says, remind one another, man, that we are going to see him. That the light, he calls them the light afflictions that we go through will don't compare to what's to be revealed. Paul's light afflictions, being whipped. He says, I was beaten with rods 3 times. Received the 40 lashes minus one. I don't know how many times that was. Wasn't it like 5 or something like that? He said, I've been shipwrecked. I'm in danger from my own countrymen. And then he goes and said, but these light afflictions, what he's saying is they are light. They are minimal to be compared to what's going to be revealed, saints. When we see him face to face, it will have been worth it all. When we hear him say, come on in, child. Come on in. You belong to me. We're not going to experience any of his wrath. None. Not now and not in the world to come. And so we thank you for that, God, that we have passed from death to life, that we walk in the truth as he is in the truth. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for the truth. The truth that sets us free, Father, we thank you for that tonight. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Oh, how we love the truth that sets us free. Lord, again, thank you for revealing a little bit of truth tonight. Thank you, Lord, for hungry hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. You could say hi to your neighbors if you want, but I know we've already, many of us have already visited with one another. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I heard Sally did a good job this past Sunday. I did. I did indeed. And I actually heard a little bit of it online. Because John Corbett makes sure that it goes on the website. Thank you, John Corbett. Yes. And so just a few things before we get started. We went to an Army Association of Related Ministers International. Took me a year to memorize that, but I got it down now. At least I think I do. Took a year, but here I am finally saying what it, you know. And, you know, that's just the individual churches. There's like 11,000 of them. Andrew Walmick started this so that people of like mind and faith could be a part of an organization. Because, look, we're not part of a denomination, right? Right? So this is, I've been being a part of this, it costs $350 a year. And it has paid dividends. You know, that's how we met the Diazes. Remember the Diazes? Carrie Diaz, who preached here, and also Ben Diaz has preached. So got to see them, saw some fantastic teachers. We saw this gal. I mean, she was about 60, so very, very young. And she had been a missionary in India, in Africa. And I'm telling you, this was like, if you remember Pastor Lee, like on fire 5 years ago? Remember Pastor Lee? It was like Pastor Lee times another 20%. This lady was incredible. Her evangelistical, just her fire and her commitment to the Lord. And she was really talking about the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And let me just say this, if you don't speak in tongues or if you're desiring of it, just keep pursuing the Lord about it. Don't let it stress you out. You had heard my wife, she was like baptized in the Holy Spirit at 9 years old, felt this electricity go through her body, and just started speaking in tongues. That's awesome. Well, I didn't have that experience. By faith, washing windows one day, doing my job, this job I had, washing windows. And all of a sudden, something in me said, out of faith, started speaking. Because Paul says to prophesy, let him who prophesies prophesy according to his faith. That's a pretty interesting statement right there. That's what he said. So as I was washing windows, I just started speaking in tongues. And my mind said, gibberish. But something inside me said, keep going and keep going and keep going. For this day, not having the experience my wife had, and this isn't a put down, she knows this, but I speak in tongues more than she does. I speak in tongues a lot. I feel any stress or pressure through the day, if I'm able to, I just start speaking in tongues. Something starts stirring me. Me and Gene were having this meeting this week, some of the meetings we have. I wasn't sure what to do, and the people I was with, they spoke in tongues, meaning that I wasn't going to do it with somebody like, what are you doing? By using wisdom. And I just spoke in tongues for a few minutes, and what it did, it just unlocked something that I was able to start that conversation with the Lord's wisdom. I just felt the desire to speak in tongues. I began to speak in tongues. At first I thought, well, this is kind of weird to start out a prayer speaking in tongues. But what happened is God gave some wisdom to how to start this meeting. Wisdom for this very particular situation. The power of speaking in tongues, saints, let me just tell you, it goes beyond anything the wisdom of man. It's one of our weapons of warfare. It really is. It's powerful. I think we need to be doing it more in this day and age. You know, and so I just want to encourage you there. Just to keep, if you don't speak in tongues, just say, Lord, help me there. Help me there. And if you do speak in tongues, like Paul says, what'd he say? He says, man, I speak in tongues more than y'all. And he's talked about praying in tongues, and he said singing in tongues. So the mind, or a lot of people, in a world where the wisdom of man, and I have to say it, the wisdom of man, if it's in a church and it's prevalent in a church, or it's just based upon not the anointing or the power of God or the Holy Spirit's not even talked about, then tongues become something that's considered the flesh as, I don't, I'm telling you, the flesh won't like it. But the Spirit, because it doesn't make sense. If it doesn't make sense to the mind, sometimes the mind of man will say, But what did Paul say about it? I'm speaking mysteries. I'm telling you, it's a powerful benefit in your life. Speaking in tongues, in your struggle, speaking in tongues. When you're feeling fearful, confused, let me encourage you to speak in tongues. If you've got problems with somebody, speak in tongues. Amen? If you've got an area where you're struggling with your faith, let me encourage you to speak in tongues. Is that okay I say that today? Amen? In this non-denominational church? Amen? But anyway, but that gal was talking about speaking in tongues, and she gave some examples of what God had done for her in India, where she was in danger, speaking in tongues, and kept a group of men from killing her, and no telling what happened. But she just began to speak in tongues, and these guys all of a sudden decided they had enough, or they didn't. It just said it was like they saw something, was terrified, turned around, and were gone. He said, as this big guy was going to leap on me, I just began to speak in tongues. He stopped. And then his eyes got big as silver dollars. And she said it was like something picked him up, turned him around, and he was going. And just on and on and with those things, you know. And so those different things. So we had a great time of just being encouraged. And meeting and seeing some people sometimes I'll see on TV that have had dynamic healing experiences. And just meet them. They're just normal people. Sometimes we get these ideals that they're, maybe they walk, they float almost. And they're just normal people that believe God for powerful life. You know, they had no chance of living without God healing them. And seeing them not only heal, but going on and God using them to help bring faith to others. By the way, I want to mention that we had gone down Thursday night, Friday. I got a call from Frank Mance. Karen Mance was in the hospital. So we went there. He finally let me in. I don't even want to go into that, what it took to get in. Went into the emergency room and her room. And we just started praying. I'm telling you, the atmosphere in that room changed. God touched Frank. I'm telling you, God touched Frank. And he says, he told me, son, I don't know who said hi to him Sunday, but he said, man, it was good to feel loved. Father, we just speak healing over Karen Mance right now, and I curse cancer. I command that cancerous thing. I command that spirit of cancer to go in Jesus' name. And we speak life and healing over Karen Mance's body in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that your word says that by your stripes we're healed. We know your words. Lord, we know in Isaiah 53, it also says that you took your sickness upon us. And thank you, Father, that our sickness and all those things, Father God, were nailed on the cross. The battle has already been won, Lord. We just declare that over Karen Mance, Father God, and anybody in this spot, in this room, if you're sick, just say, Lord, raise your hand and say, Lord, thank you for your healing touch in Jesus' name. God, you that were the same yesterday, today, and forever, who healed then, who heals now, and will heal to the day you come. Lord, we thank you for your healing power, and we declare it, Father God, over our lives and our families, in the name of Jesus the Christ. The name above every name. The only way to heaven. The only way to experience truth. The only way to be delivered from sin. The only way to have a sound mind is through the Holy Spirit, through the truth of Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for that tonight, Father God. We boldly declare it, Father God. We boldly declare it. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. To bring salvation and healing and deliverance to the Jew, but also to this Greek boy, for this Gentile, amen? Not only the Jews, but Gentiles, we thank you for that, God, that we are not ashamed of the gospel and how we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We are on the Gospel of John, session 18. And I'm not sure how far we're going to get because as I would begin to look at this, I went over to Isaiah 40. So in a minute, we're going to go over there. John, I didn't give those scriptures to you, and that's okay, brother. But John 3, 28, starting in verse 28, it says, you yourselves are my witness that I said. This is talking about who? John the Baptist, right? I am not the Christ, he said, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the groom. But the friend of the groom who stands and listens to him rejoices greatly because of the groom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. So he's saying, I saw the Christ. I didn't see him. I proclaimed him. I was baptizing people, and lo and behold, I saw him. He's saying, I saw the Spirit come down upon him like a dove. And he says, so I saw the Christ. He says, so what he's saying now is, hey, my ministry must decrease as his increase. I've done my job now. If you remember a few verses before that, he said, they said to him, who are you? Who sent you? Are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? No. And he says, and then who are you? He says, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. And he was actually quoting directly from Isaiah 40. So today I went over to Isaiah 40 just looking at that John had known. He had read and knowing in his ministry that I am the forerunner to the Christ. And we already talked about the forerunner of the Christ. He was an odd fellow in his own right. I mean, obviously Jesus didn't arrive on the scene like what the Jews had expected. Amen. He wasn't born in royalty. He was born in like a manger. And then after that, he had to run to Egypt. So he was fleeing Herod as he went to Egypt. And then after Herod died, he came back. So we already talked about the camel hair. We talked about the locust and how that was okay for him legally in the law to eat the locust. So I went to Isaiah 40 and I read that he was quoting verse 3, which was the voice of one calling out, "Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And that's what he quoted. And so I read that and said, that's wonderful. But, you know, there's two scriptures above that are really powerful, what the forerunner was leading up to, what Jesus would say. He said, "I'm the voice of one saying, make that path straight." And so in Isaiah 40, two verses before what John said and what actually was John, what the John the Baptist's job was, it says, "Comfort, comfort my people." So this is God talking through Isaiah. "Says your God, speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended." Her warfare has ended. Stop right there. As I began to think upon that, her warfare has ended. You know, sometimes if I'm not careful, I can pray and seek the Lord like I'm still in warfare. Meaning this, that he's completed everything for my forgiveness. He's completed everything for my healing. He's completed everything already for even everything. My provision, my finances has already been completed for me. And sometimes I'm trying to seek the Lord and pursue something that has already been accomplished for me. I really do. Like praying for somebody, saying, "Lord, thank you for healing them, that the healing has already been paid for. No amount of praying or fasting is going to make that any more truthful." I'm not saying there's anything wrong for a time of prayer or fasting, but if I'm praying and fasting to get God to do something or move on my behalf, or to forget him to say, "Hey, Lord, would you do this for me?" I've got to remember that it was already done for me. 2,000 years ago upon the cross, my healing, my deliverance, my soulness, my peace in my soul has already been purchased. If there's anything I need to seek the Lord for today, is, "Lord, help me to understand that. Help me to realize that," as the enemy spends every day of our life trying to convince us that's not ours. That it might apply for that person, but it doesn't apply for you. Look at the situation you've been in or you're going through or have been in. It's just not for you. So God spends a lifetime trying to convince you and I that we've got to wrestle something out of God's hand. I've heard people say, "Well, the heavens were brass," and that's just the way it is. I don't believe in a brass heaven anymore. I know that he hears me by faith. Now, there's been times where I'll pray and seek him, and his presence is wonderful. But I know that even if I don't feel anything, he's heard every one of my prayers. The price has been paid. I'm no longer judged according to the law. Amen. We'll see some of that today if we get there. Just reminding ourselves, reminding you and I, what he accomplished already. The promises of God are yes and amen. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." These are powerful. "Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her guilt has been removed." You know, this was written 700 years before Christ was even born. This was talking about after Jesus was born, after he died, after he rose from the grave, after he went to be at the right hand of the Father, after the Holy Spirit, amen, the day of Pentecost was delivered to believers once and for all, that the Holy Spirit would live in us and operate in us. He's talking 700 years in advance. And now it's 2,700 years in our rearview mirror, and yet it still remains the same, saints. Call out to her that her warfare has ended. Isn't that wonderful? We're not fighting the Lord, amen. It's already been done. Peace and goodwill towards men. His peace belongs to me, amen. The warfare of the law, what it stood for, the warfare of the right that sin and death had over my life has been defeated. The warfare is over. You know, I think about that scripture, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're the mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And then it talks about bringing down every vain imagination. See, the enemy wants to raise up vain imaginations as if the warfare hasn't ended. It hasn't ended. The victory hasn't been completed. And as I said before, it's already been determined that one day it's going to take one angel to grab Satan by the scruff and throw him into the lake of fire. It's already been written. Remember we talked about it? I couldn't help it. I took a sneak peek to the end of the book. You ever done that? And that the victory has already been ours. Saints, the warfare is over. God is not against you. God is for you. What Satan does is he tries to be an angel of light to convince us. To convince us that there's something you've got to do to get something from God. Other than believing by faith. Other than believing by faith. When I started to relax and say, Lord, I want everything you have for me, Lord. I want to come from the vantage point that everything's been completed. The battle's over. Reveal yourself to me, Lord. You know, when you realize that the battle's over, I'm not saying we don't have struggles day to day, but the victory already being ours, it's amazing what the Lord will reveal. I told you years and years ago I would spend, I had a good heart. I'd spend much time in fasting, many hours on my knees reading through the Old Testament and scriptures, begging God for revelation, looking at symbols, thinking that it was really hard, that I had to somehow break through and pierce through some veil. Well, see, the veil was torn when he hung on the cross. Amen. The veil was torn. And now I can come to him in complete peace and confidence and say, Lord, you want to reveal yourself to me. The warfare has ended. Amen. Then it said that her guilt has been removed. Amen. That she has received of the Lord. Listen to this. That she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Well, not double trouble, double blessing. Remember remember the curses? Did you guys ever read Deuteronomy 28? I mean, those blessings are awesome, but they're about 12 verses, and the next 40 are about the curse of the law. Amen? That she has received from the Lord. How about you? For you and I tonight, you could put that Chad has received of the Lord's hand double for all his sins. Put your name in there, would you? Just put your name, your name that you have received of the Lord's hand double for all your sins. Isn't that amazing? That's a promise of God right there. But see, when we think that there's still warfare going on, that God is still in any way, shape, upset at us, it's hard for us to believe that he would give double for all the trouble, that he would give us his double blessing, meaning his kindness overwhelming us, his kindness overflowing. He wants us to walk in that kindness. And when we understand that kindness, amen, in the middle of our struggle, saying, Lord, thank you that, Lord, even though my sins and still and the struggles I may still have, that you have given me double because you have already won the war. We thank you, Lord, for winning the war for us. Saints, can we just take a second and say, Lord, thank you for giving me double. I'm just repeating the word of God. I'm just repeating the word of God. Lord, thank you for double. Thank you for double kindness and double blessing in place of and in spite of all the mistakes I've made, that you have indeed washed all my sins away. Father God, that you are for me and not against me, Lord, that you want to reveal more and more of yourself to me. Father God, it's just to believe it. I have to dare believe that the war has already been won. Father God, that you love me, Father God, that you filled me with your Holy Spirit, Father God. And Lord, I ask that you would reveal yourself to me in the name of Jesus, your goodness. What does he reveal to us? His goodness, his kindness, his peace, his faithfulness, his power, his anointing, his strength. He gives us a taste of the heavenly, that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. He gives us a taste of what's going on in heaven right here in my soul, that no matter what's going on around me, I get to walk in his goodness. His bounty before me. I think about Psalms 23, that prophetic book That insight that King David had. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. And then it says that this table, it makes his bounty. He's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. How can he do that? Because the battle has already been won. He's already won the battle for us over sin, over condemnation and fear in Jesus' name. There's the only way that you and I could walk in his bounty is knowing that the war is already over. As Isaiah 40, what was he thinking when he wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? So many things that he wrote, he's like, even says in the book of sweet babies. Don't you love hearing babies? Even saying it in the book of Hebrews, that they long to look into these things that they wrote. They're like, what do these mean? They're talking about the Savior. They didn't get to see. They got to write under the inspiration, but never got to see what you and I see. Warfare has ended, Satan. We may see the world at war. We may see Satan still warring for people who are lost, amen? But for you and I, did you know the war is over? If I can tomorrow morning, even in the struggles, even in the things where the enemy would try to come up against me, I have to remind him, hey, the battle's over, buddy. Get lost. Those tricks don't work on me anymore. I'm coming fuller and fuller into the knowledge of his grace. I'm coming fuller and fuller in the knowledge of walking in his peace and his rest and his goodness. I'm coming into understanding what he wants for me. So many people never realize that because they never realize the war is already over. They're battling hard for something to get scraps from God when God says, hey, man, I've got a bounty for you. You've got much more than scraps, and it will not depend on your flesh and your strength to receive from me. Thank you, Lord, for double. I'm going to say that again. That she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then that's when it says, the next verse, the voice of one calling out, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. As John the Baptist was making the way for the Christ, who as he's preaching and teaching and to the Jews, Never had an inkling that God was going to include you and I in this great bounty. When Jesus was rose from the grave and the Holy Spirit was poured out, even the Jewish church and all the disciples had no idea that God was going to include you and I. It was like 5 years after the church had begun in Jerusalem that Peter, had that vision where that shroud came down, that sheet came down. And he heard, saw all those unclean animals, and Peter heard, kill and eat. He said, never, never would I do that. And he heard it, two or three times, and then the vision, the sheet rolled up, and he's pondering, and somebody says, hey, there's somebody that had a vision that wants to talk to you. And so what happened? Peter goes, and there's a group of all these Gentiles. And what's the first thing Peter says? He says, you know, I'm not supposed to be in this room. Well, he's a Jew still. He didn't know. He says, but I had this vision. Then he went in there, and as he preached the gospel, God's heart for people, just look at this. Nobody laid hands on anybody. It says as he began, as he was telling about Jesus, the Holy Spirit fell. They began to speak in tongues. Amen. That's when they realized, wait a second, God's including these Gentiles, but they still didn't quite understand what that was to look like. Matter of fact, at that time, they're saying, okay, a lot of them, now it's time for you to get to the other requirements and rituals of the law. It wasn't until Paul, the Jew of Jews, they had to go up to the Jerusalem church and said, I had this revelation. And they said, okay, Paul, you go to the Gentiles. You go to those rascals. They don't like what they're eating anyway. And he says, "Well, and we're going to stay with the church here with the brothers." And then Paul began his things. Saints, who would have realized? My point is that when Jesus was preaching on earth, nobody but Jesus knew the bounty that the world was going to be able to take. That the war wasn't not over. See, the war was over, but they didn't realize. They thought the war meant being over with Rome. No, the war with Satan. The war with the power of Satan over our lives. The power of sin over our lives. And through faith being justified freely by his grace, you and I receiving that double portion. Father, again, I say thank you for that double portion. I'm not one to be prideful and say, "Lord, I'll take it." About you, saints, by faith, you might, regardless of what's going on in your heart, say it by faith. Say, "Lord, I want everything you have for me." When you're in the middle of a struggle, it's hard to see it sometimes. If things are going on, you can't see it, but let it come out of your mouth. Say, "Lord, I want everything you have for me in spite of me." God loves that type of faith talk. You know that? He loves that type of speech when he says, "Lord, I want everything you have for me. Lord, I want to see everything you have for me." I don't care if you're 75 or you're 25 or 20. Age does not matter as far as God working and stirring in your heart. It does not matter. Amen? Amen and amen. That's good stuff because it's from the Word of God. Amen? I said that's good stuff because it comes from the Word of God. And you guys love the Word of God, so I am in good company. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Then verse 31, we're going to go through this a little bit. It says, "Now he who comes from above is above all. The one who is only from the earth is of the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, of this he testifies, and no one accepts his testimony. The one who has accepted his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God sent speaks the words of God," talking about Jesus, "for he does not give the Spirit sparingly. So the Father loves the Son and has entrusted all things into his hand." 36, "So the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. But the one who does not obey the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God remains on him." During the next few minutes, I want to talk about some different points of wrath. Thank God that wrath is not up on my life or your life if you know Jesus, right? But there is a wrath that's coming. It's just the way it is. Jesus spoke it. Jesus says, "Don't fear man who can kill your body and do nothing else." Jesus said this, "Fear him not only that can kill the body, but throw your soul in hell." Jesus said that. So not me, but I'm thankful that you and I have passed from death to life. See, what is wrath? Where does wrath come in? Let me speak of these few things. Point number one, suppressing the truth. Suppressing the truth. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." That's why believers are standing up and praying and declaring the truth, because we have a portion of our society that are suppressing the truth of God. I want the blessing of God in this nation, and I want the blessing of God on my life. But when you have people suppressing the truth, it brings wrath on those situations. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Even after the new covenant, Chad? Yes. Remember the one, I can't think of his name, you probably know, but remember he was it's in the book of Acts, and they started saying, "These are the words of a God, not a man." And he didn't say anything, and it says an angel of the Lord struck him dead. And worms ate his body. That was in the new covenant. Suppressing the truth. Amen. Stubbornness and stiff-neckedness. Stiff-neckedness? Naked? Did I say stiff-neckedness? No. Won't work. That doesn't work. How about stiff-neckedness? Not stiff-nakedness. I'm sorry about that. Stiff-necked. But in the Deuteronomy 9:6-7, that came from my personal dictionary, and I apologize. Know without any doubt that the Lord your God, he's talking about the children of Israel, know without any doubt that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked, stubborn, obstinate people. Remember with remorse and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day you left the land of Egypt until you arrived in this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. Wow, isn't that, he showed his grace so much with the children of Israel, but from the day they left until they went into the promised land 40 years later, the Lord says they were stiff-necked and rebellious. Amen. It only took 11 days to get there if they would have just paid attention. My goodness. He really loved those people, didn't he? 3, man's wrath leads to unrighteousness. James 1, 19 and 20 says, you know this, my beloved brothers and sisters, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For a man's anger or wrath does not bring about the righteousness of God. Anybody ever done anything or said anything they wish they hadn't when they seething with anger? It says these things that the wrath of God, so our own anger brings about a certain wrath that's not good. Man's sinful nature, so how does wrath come? So we're talking about these different points. Man's sinful nature says in Colossians 3, 5, and 6, therefore, treat the parts of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So there's a day of wrath coming. That's not going to affect you and I. I don't know about you. It's not going to affect you. Walking in his grace and favor. Regardless of what happens in this nation or world, aren't you glad that I've received a double dose, that I have his favor on my life? Amen. Number 5, man's efforts will not satisfy wrath. Amen. What scripture? I didn't put the book. I'm thinking this is from Romans chapter 4. I apologize. I didn't get that in there. For if those who are of the law are heirs, I think it's Romans 4. For if those who are of the law are heirs, then faith is made void, and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about what? Wrath. But where there is no law, there also is no violation. For this reason, it is, saints, listen to this, it's so good. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants. Goes on to Jews and Gentiles. Did you know today that Jews, Gentiles, doesn't matter your background, your nation, did you know we're all saved the same? We know God's going to do a great work in the Israelites, amen, in Israel, the Hebrews, but you know it's still going to be by that same faith. It's going to be coming to realize he is Messiah and that he paid the ultimate cost. He's the only one. It's still going to be by faith. If you look in Hebrews 11, that hall of fame, is that the faith hall of fame? If you read through that, it says these people, these things that they accomplished was by faith. Many of them were under the law and different things, but it says still that they accomplished what they did by faith. So even during the law, God wanted them to pursue him. But always turning to Baal, turning to God's, always stiff-necked, amen? So man's efforts will not satisfy that wrath. That's why I love Colossians 2, 3, and 14. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful scriptures. And you who were dead in your trespasses, anybody ever been, do you remember when you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh? God made alive together with him, having forgiven us, how many of our trespasses? All of our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demand. What is that, by the way? It's the law. The legal demands of the law. Where would you have legal demands? If you read in the King James, it says the written codes. Let me read that verse 14 again. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside. How do you set aside, saints? Nailing it to the cross. Amen. Him fulfilling that law, just a reminder. It's almost from my mind, I see the law. I see maybe, you know, copies of the law. Not the original Ten Commandments out of stone, but seeing some of the old writings, and I can see them with his blood on it. All the demands of the law that served as wrath, that served as wrath towards us, it says, I see those being nailed on the cross, every one of them. And that power saying every one of those things that said, aha, you can't measure up. Aha, you kept 9 of them, but you missed the 10th one. Aha, you kept 275 of them, but number 276, you just didn't get right. Taking all of those and nailing them to the cross and saying, I forgive every debt, every iniquity, every sin you've ever committed. And once you realize that by faith and you receive grace and you begin to have a revelation of his grace, then you keep going back. When the enemy speaks in your mind, even in your struggles, you just point him back to the cross. And I see all those rules and regulations with blood on them nailed on a tree. Because it says in Galatians, cursed is everyone who is nailed on a tree. The curse of the law was nailed on a tree for me, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's why Isaiah 40 says, I'll give you double for your sins, because the satisfaction of the curse of the law was nailed on a tree for you and I. And therefore, I freely have the Holy Spirit. I freely have double for my sins, because by grace and by putting my faith in him, I'm not saying that all the sins in the world are okay. I'm only saying that they've only been satisfied. The wrath of God has only been satisfied by my sins being nailed to a tree. And therefore, going free, saying, Lord, yes, I've got some growing to do, but every time I struggle, I just point back at the cross. When I'm feeling sick, I just look at the cross. When I'm struggling, I look at the cross. When I'm struggling with things, even in my life financially, I look at the cross and say, Lord, thank you for the answer. The answer was nailed on a tree for me. Double portion. Stand up with me, saints. Do you love him tonight? So it's okay to say, Lord, thank you for a double portion. Now, you don't have to send a man any money for that, though. You guys know what I'm trying to say? Don't let nobody tell you that you'll get a double portion if you'll write a check and send it to me. I mean that. That's snake oil salesmanship. What it says right here is he has, because of what he's done for me, having nailed it to the cross, all of my sins, all my sickness, all my pain, all my weaknesses, that he says, son, daughter, I'm giving you it. Father, we thank you for that today. We thank you for walking in your faith. We thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Lord, we thank you for all of us, Lord, things, little areas in our minds and our heart, Lord, that aren't true, that are contrary to the truth of grace and the power of grace. Lord, reveal those to us so, Lord, we can come out of any shadows, any lies, any things that would cause us to trip up and stumble. Lord, show us those things so that we can say those were nailed to the cross. And Father, fill us afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh and anew. Lord, we thank you for that double portion blessing that you promised to us by faith through grace, and we thank you for that tonight, Lord. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we love you. Lord, we're in a day and age, Lord, we need you like never before. Lord, we need to realize that the war is over, Father. You've paid the price. And we freely, Lord, just by faith in you, Father, receive everything that we have that you want to give us, Lord. Lord, thank you for opening our eyes. Lord, we humble ourselves and say, Lord, we don't have all the answers. Those things that were given to us from childhood, even that are ingrained in us, religious things or whatever it is, Father, break those things over our lives and reveal the truth, Father God, by your Holy Spirit. Moses gave the law, but Jesus Christ came and gave grace and truth. So we thank you for that tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.